Welcome to the American Cafe. I'm your host, David Byrd. The ancient mathematician and philosopher Pythagoras wrote of what he called the harmony of the spheres. But did you know the universe actually moves in a way that can be interpreted musically?
You look up in the sky, and again, to our eyes, you know, it seems motionless. But in fact, there is a lot of dynamicism in the universe, and that makes it even more beautiful.
That's Mark Heyer, a research professor at the University of Massachusetts at Amherst. He's developed an algorithm that lets us hear the movement of our Milky Way galaxy in musical terms. We'll chat with him about what he did and what the universe sounds like on this week's American Cafe. Nearly 2,600 years ago, the ancient Greek mathematician Pythagoras put forth what became known as the harmony of the spheres to explain the order of the universe. 400 years ago, astronomer Johannes Kepler described the elliptical orbits of planets around the sun in the harmonies of the world. But now, a University of Massachusetts professor has developed an algorithm that turns astronomical data about galactic gases into musical notes. Mark Heyer told me that he used radio telescope data sets for the past 20 years and found that the universe is kind of funky.
I think a lot of times we get images from the Hubble Space Telescope or from ground-based telescopes, and we just see a very static image, and it doesn't convey the motions of the stars and the gas in that field, because it takes, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of years for that picture to change any significant way to see any differences between one picture and the next. But what we do is we do spectroscopy, so we're looking at line emission, and that way we were able to convey that kind of motion in the galaxy by taking that the Doppler shift of motions that we observe in our spectra and convert that to musical notes.
You chose the a minor pentatonic scale for this. Why was that?
Well, it was one of those cases. I'm experimenting with the algorithm, and I had major scales and simple minor scales. But when I first, you know, played, you know, a little segment of just one of the instruments, it sounded like that could be a very nice blues or jazzy sound to it. And so then I recrafted the algorithm so it could transform the data into a musical blues scale.
And this is based upon, you mentioned that the space between stars is filled with gas, and this is the movement of those gases, but then you assigned different note lengths and different pitches to different movements, right?
That's right. So what happens is, you know, when we do spectroscopy, we measure with a telescope at a given position on the sky the intensity of the radiation as a function of frequency. Or wavelength, but we quickly turn that into velocity. And so as we look to a position on the sky, we're actually seeing all the way through the galaxy. We're seeing many different radii or many different distances from the sun. And that appears as many bumps in that spectrum. And so what I do is I take the spectrum and I essentially mathematically resample that to a musical scale. And that gives that spectrum, which is inherently atonal, it gives a tonality, and that's what really is a key step to make it sound nice. Because if you just have an atonal sound, there's no home key like you would expect in most music.
And you didn't massage the data any. You didn't compose using this gas. This is just basically the raw data put into your algorithm and then turned into a musical scale, right?
That's exactly right. What I do is I sort of ask, you know, I'm going to sample many positions in the galaxy, and I do that very systematically, you know, stepping every 15 degrees in galactic longitude, or 20 degrees or 5 degrees in the case of the piano part. And then, you know, I just do the conversion and let the notes fall where they may, and just put it all together. And, you know, I was expecting that you could hear the rotation of the galaxy, because that is the most dominant kinematic motion you have and that you see in the spectra. But yes, there was no massaging. It just falls out from the data.
And you assigned, I believe we've got a saxophone, wood blocks, a piano, and an upright bass. So it's quite the combo here to different ones of these gases. Each instrument represents a different part.
That's exactly right, because they have different distributions in the galaxy. So their spectra, while they have similarities, in the case of the atomic gas, for instance, it's sort of atomic gas sort of fills much of the space between the galaxy, between the stars, where the molecular gas is very much more discrete. So there'll be bumps in the spectra in the molecular gas that'll just get lost in the atomic gas, because the atomic gas is just sort of spread all over the place. So you'd expect different sounds from different phases of the gas, which I apply to the different instruments.
And that's why the atomic gas, which you say fills all the spaces, is the bass.
Is the bass. It gives you that driving pulse, I think, that sort of drives the music forward. And the wood blocks sort of do that as well.
You also had help from another astronomer at the University of California, Santa Barbara, right?
Yes, Greg Selvason. He was the one who actually started the Astronomy Sound of the Month website. And I contacted him back in January when the first release of that website came out. And I could see what he was doing. And I contacted him to say, oh, this is what I'm doing. Let's sort of get together. And he was amazing. I mean, because I had a sort of I would say admittedly a cheesy visualization that goes with the music. But Greg took what I initially had and made it a much better animation to sort of convey more information than what I was doing before. At that point, once he got the visualization in a better state, then I felt more confident to release it out to the public.
There have been several Hollywood movies, Jodie Foster's Contact, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, mm-hmm. et cetera, where music was the way that alien life forms and humans were able to communicate. Not extrapolating your work into Hollywood fantasy, but what do you think it means, either, astronomically or even philosophically, that our universe actually does make music as it exists?
Well, I mean, that's what Kepler, 400 years ago, when he wrote The Harmonies of the World, he was looking for a sort of harmonic relationships between the planets and then the orbits of the planets around the sun. And that's why most of his book on the harmonies of the world was a research in harmonic relationships initially of music, but then he was also looking for that in the data that he had at the time. And for him, it was really just seeing how beautiful the universe is as God would have made it, because he was a very religious figure. For me, I just did this for fun. it was an idea that I had for a long time, and only recently has some of the technology came about that somebody like me could access that and turn my algorithm, actually, which turns the velocities into notes, but then I want to be able to play that back. And that technology that has been out recently afforded me the path to do that.
Yeah, I understand it was your brother that turned you on to composing website, I believe. Is that right?
Well, it's a program that he uses as well. It's a scoring program, a musical scoring program that you can do it by hand, insert each note into the measures and assign different parts to different instruments. But it also takes sort of a what's called an XML input, and that's what my program will do, the transformation. I write off this sort of intermediate file, and that commercial program will read that data in and then turn it into a musical score. So I can create a score with this. I could send it off to real musicians and they could play it back, or I could just let the software play it back by itself. And that's what you're hearing in the animation.
What was it like when you heard the universe play back the first time?
It was amazing. I was kind of expecting it to be more random than it was, which was, in retrospect, kind of short-sighted, because it really is the rotation of the galaxy is the most dominant kinematic feature. But it was exciting because I had this idea for a long time, and when I finally realized it and it sounded okay, but I thought this could actually be a more fun project than I initially anticipated.
That's Mark Heyer of the University of Massachusetts at Amherst. And what exactly does the Milky Way sound like? Well, check it out. So what do you think? Let us know your opinion by visiting our Facebook page, VOA American Cafe. You can hear other episodes of our show by logging on to voanews.com. Until next time, I'm David Byrd. Thanks for listening.